Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Nicola Johnston, and today I am joined by my guests Leslie Scheel and Robin Somerville. Leslie Scheel is an assistant professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Ottawa, and Robin Somerville is a director with the Center for Spatial Economics in Milton, Ontario. They are the authors of the new study, Bailouts and Subsidies, The Economics of Assisting the Automotive Sector in Canada, published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. We join them today in Oakville, Ontario, and in Ottawa. Welcome, Professor C. Scheel and Mr. Somerville.
Thank you.
So to begin, Mr. Somerville, your study examines bailouts and subsidies in the context of the automotive sector and the 2008-2009 recession. You start by saying that the bailouts yielded positive results for GM and Chrysler. Can you tell us why?
Well, bailing out the auto companies in 2009 was and still is very controversial. It was hard to find much positive to say about either GM or Chrysler at that time, and I certainly didn't envy the decisions that Minister Bryant and Clement had to take at that time. The decision they made, however, was the correct one. From a cost-benefit perspective, the bailouts quickly paid for themselves, and we can see that it was beneficial to employment and output in Ontario and nationally. Critics of the decision need to bear in mind that failing to support these companies back in 2009 would not leave us with the economy we have today without the $14 billion cost of the bailout. We'd be living in a very different Ontario, an Ontario with significantly fewer jobs and an even more profound fiscal challenge.
And turning to you now, Professor Scheel, even though the outcomes of the bailout were cost-effective, your study cautions against industry subsidies. Can you tell us why the government should reassess bailouts in times like this?
Yes, certainly. I want to take exception, Nicola, to your use of the term cost-effective. In economics, that's a very precise term, which generally means achieving something at the least possible cost. And we're not arguing in the paper that that is actually what the bailout of GM and Chrysler did or what has been accomplished through the series of project-based subsidies to the automotive sector that we've seen since 2004. What we're arguing is that the subsidies and the bailouts were better than losing those activities, but that in fact there was an opportunity to achieve this in a lower cost fashion. The problem, of course, is that when we use subsidies, we have to finance that through distortionary taxation. So for every dollar of tax we raise, there's another cost impact on the economy through the disincentive effects that taxation has. That means that the total cost of providing subsidies is greater than the dollar value of the subsidies. So we have to be very careful about using subsidies and make sure that we've got them as low as absolutely necessary. And what we've observed in our study is that there were other opportunities for making those subsidies or those bailouts perhaps smaller than they were, and so that it was very important that we take those steps to do that.
And so then what do you suggest as an alternative to subsidies and why?
Well, what our research is focused on in the automotive sector is taking a look at the wage structure of the workers, because labor costs in any operation are quite large, and that's true of the auto sector as well. And what we found, just looking at the data from Statistics Canada, is that the average employment income of workers in the automotive sector is significantly higher than the average manufacturing wage. And yet we couldn't find any evidence to explain why. So we are arguing that there's some room there, there's some scope there for auto workers to provide more of the incentive for the investment in the form of reduced compensation. So this essentially what we're saying is concessions on pay. That won't make us very popular with the auto workers, but that is certainly a way that incentives could be provided for the investments that would reduce the amount of subsidies that governments would have to provide.
And so going back to you now, Mr. Somerville, the U.S. and many other countries actively use government subsidies to attract new auto investment. So doesn't Canada have to play the subsidy game if others do too?
Well, in a perfect world, nobody would provide subsidies. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world, and so we have to look at the second best solution. And what we found in our study is that the second best solution often does involve some support to companies to attract new auto investment. Now, that support could either come through government providing the funds or through auto workers or other workers giving up some of their wages. Companies would be indifferent either way. The trick then for government is to negotiate effectively on our behalf as taxpayers in order to secure the best possible outcome for everyone.
And so finally, Professor Scheel, if Jim Sanford, the commentator in the study, were here, he'd likely say that wage concessions shouldn't be a precondition to auto subsidies because high auto sector wages reflect high worker productivity. So auto wages are indeed higher than the average manufacturing wage, not only in Canada, but in the U.S. and in other countries. So how would you respond?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that we took a look at that question of productivity in the automotive sector. And what we found was that the measure that is called labor productivity is very high in the automotive sector. In that sense, it's a high productivity industry. But we've got to be very careful because high labor productivity, this is going to sound like a paradox, but labor productivity does not actually measure the productivity of labor. In the sense that this measure of productivity is just taking the dollar value of everything that's produced and dividing it through by the number of hours that workers work. Now, the fact that productivity is high might be due to something related to workers. They might be very efficient workers. Or it might be due to the fact that they're using very efficient machines. Or it might be due to the fact that management is very effective. It might be due to the fact that they're employing new technologies. And so the key question we have to ask whenever we talk about productivity is we have to ask what is actually driving the growth in productivity. And so we've done that using data collected by Statistics Canada, so it's basically the best data on productivity that we could find. And what we identified was that very, very little of the productivity growth in the automotive sector in Canada over the past four decades has actually been driven by improvements in either the education or the experience or other measurable factors of the workers. Most of it is being driven by changes in the organization of the industry to just-in-time delivery and other innovations such as that, or through technological change. So most of that productivity growth we've seen has not actually been driven by changes in the workforce, at least according to the data that we found. So I think that's the first thing that we have to put on the table, and that's one of the key findings in our study. The other issue is that the fact that wages in the automotive sector are higher than the manufacturing average in many countries, I don't dispute that. The challenge that Robin and I found when doing our study was to ask ourselves, well, what would be the competitive level of wages in the Canadian industry in the absence of union bargaining power? And we picked the average manufacturing wage as a hypothesis, but it's clear that more research is needed to answer that question more precisely. Nonetheless, we do think that workers in the automotive industry are earning a significant premium above their competitive level, and therefore there is some scope there for them to make some concessions without actually changing their incentive to continue working in the automotive industry. So that's our bottom line, basically.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Leslie Scheel is an assistant professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Ottawa, and Robin Somerville is a director with the Center for Spatial Economics in Milton, Ontario. They are the authors of the new study, Bailouts and Subsidies, The Economics of Assisting the Automotive Industry in Canada, published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. We join them today in Oakville and in Ottawa. And, of course, the study is available free of charge from our website at www.irpp.org.